Chapter 3, The Biggest Shock of His Life. The malaria Sundar had contracted racked his body for the most of the summer, leaving him feeling listless and depressed. His fall approached when school would start again. Sundar could not imagine walking 6 miles a day to school and back. Reluctantly, he allowed his father to make inquiries about re-enrolling him at the nearby mission school. Despite Sundar's previous disruptive behavior, the school principal, the Reverend Newton, agreed to have him back. And so Sundar returned to his old school. He no longer heckled his teachers or threw stones at him, but he did not learn much from them either. After suffering through malaria, Sundar now found that his mind wandered easily and he often slept between classes. He became convinced that the lingering effects of the malaria would kill him before he ever graduated from school, and that prospect made him gloomier than ever. His gloom quickly turned to anger, which he did not direct at his teachers this time, but at the Christian God. Finally, one day after Bible study, Sundar asked his teacher to sell him a copy of the New Testament. The teacher readily agreed, and he smiled to Sundar that he was hoping for a change in attitude as Sundar read the book. But Sundar had no intention of reading the New Testament. He had other plans for it. That evening, Sundar caught his friends together in the yard of the Singh house. He disappeared into the kitchen and emerged a few minutes later with a bundle of sticks and a cane of kerosene. He piled the sticks on the ground and then doused them with kerosene. When he was satisfied that the sticks had soaked up enough of the accelerant, Sundar laid the tin aside and struck a match. He dropped it into the flames, and a whoosh, they leapt into flames. The glow of the fire filled the yard and danced on the faces of the boys standing around it. When Sundar was sure he had everyone's attention, he stepped forward and dramatically held up the New Testament. Without saying a word, he opened the book and began tearing the pages from it one by one. He dropped them into the fire and watched as they burst into flame. At first, Sundar felt elated, but as the flames curled around the edges of the last pages of the New Testament, he felt a surge of remorse pulse through him. He could picture his mother's face. He wondered what she would think of him burning the Christian scriptures. She had taught him that every religion had value. Sundar reminded himself that he doubted this was true. Besides, the Christian God had not struck him dead for burning the New Testament. Obviously, the Christian God was not alive. He was just a collection of lies gathered in a book. But then another thought hit Sundar. What about the Hindu gods and the Sikh gurus? Were they true, or were they just lies as well? Suddenly, Sundar was gripped with the need to know for certain. He was still sick and oppressed from the malaria, and he felt he could no longer take his mother's words on anything. After all, God, whoever or whatever he might be, had taken his mother from him, and he, unlike his older brothers, Sundar did not think life was worth living unless he had answers to the God question once and for all. As he thought about this, he heard the whistle of a train in the distance as it passed close by Rampur, and it gave Sundar an idea. It was a strange idea, but it would not go away. On the third night after burning the New Testament, Sundar lay awake thinking about it. Finally, he decided he had to act. He climbed off his sleeping mat, pulled his robe around him, and silently made his way to the bathing room at the back of the house. Mechanically, he drew water from the well and poured it over him. He shivered with cold. But that was the point. Tonight was the night he would know for sure whether there was a God. There was an inevitability about his actions as he put his robe back on and retreated to his room. Sundar sat on his sleeping mat and prayed. God, if you are there, reveal yourself to me tonight. If you do not, I will kill myself in the morning, because I cannot live another day with all of these unanswered questions. Then he sat and waited. Sundar's decision to kill him was not an idle threat. At 5 o'clock every morning, the train to Lahore rolled past Rampur. If he had not received an answer from God by then, Sundar was determined to lie on the railway tracks and wait for the train to roll over him. He had decided that it would be better to be dead than to continue his meaningless life. 1 hour passed, and then 2. Sundar was still wide awake and listening for any sound, any sign that God might be there. 4:30 rolled by, and Sundar's mind began to think about the train and what he would have to do. He had decided the easiest and quickest way to end his life was to rest his head right under the rail and let the train crush it. Right in the middle of his morbid thought, Sundar became aware of a glow in the room. At first he thought it was something outside shining through the bedroom window, but the shutter on the window was closed. The glow grew brighter and brighter until it became a piercing white light. Then the figure of a man appeared at the center of the light. Whether the figure was actually in his bedroom or just in his imagination, Sundar could not tell. All he knew was that what he was seeing was as real to him. He was strained to see that the figure in the light, and that is when he received the biggest shock of his life. He had not expected it to be Krishna, or perhaps Buddha, but it was neither. Instead, he recognized the figure as Jesus Christ. But how could he? Sundar was convinced that Jesus Christ was long dead, yet here he was, his piercing eyes burrowing into Sundar's heart. Then the figure spoke to him in perfect Hindustani. "How long will you persecute me? I have come to save you. You are praying to know the right way. Why do you not take it? I am the way." At these words, Sundar clambered to his knees and began to pray. Fervently, he asked Jesus Christ to forgive him and to change him. The vision finally faded, and as Sundar got up from his knees, he heard the whistle of the train in the distance. But all thoughts of taking his life were gone now. Instead, Sundar felt an incredibly tense sense of peace and joy flood over him. He had to tell someone about what had happened. Amazingly, the Jesus the missionaries talked about was alive, and he was the true Son of God. Sundar ran into his father's bedroom. "Father, wake up, I have something to tell you," he said, shaking his father awake. Shur Singh opened his blurry eyes. "What is it?" "Father, it is wonderful news. I have seen him, Jesus Christ. He came to me in my room, and he spoke to me in Hindustani." Sundar's father sat up and wiped the sleep from his eyes. "What are you talking about, son?" he asked. "3 days ago, you burned the Christian book, and now you're telling me you believe that what it says? Are you touched in the head?" Sundar stared at his father, desperate to think of a way to make him understand. Before he could do so, Shur Singh put his hand on his son's shoulder. "Go back to bed now, and in the morning you will realize how foolish you are being. It is just a dream, and you must not make yourself overexcited about such imaginings," he said. Sundar made his way back to his bedroom and laid down, but he could not sleep. How amazing it was to think that Jesus was alive. No wonder the missionaries came from halfway across the world to tell the people of India about their God. Sundar was sure that he would do the same now that he knew that everything the Christians had told him about God was true. When breakfast was served later that morning, Sundar's father busied himself talking to his older sons. Sundar's heart dropped as he realized that his father was not going to bring up the subject of what had happened during the night. Sundar knew that he would have to do it himself. "Father," he began, "about last night." Shur Singh waved his hand to stop Sundar. "Do not worry about it, son. It was a project of reading Christian books at school. They have played tricks on your mind at night. I will not mention it again, and neither should you." "But father," Sundar said, desperation rising in his voice, "it was all true. I did see Jesus in the night, and I had just bathed in cold water, so I'm sure I was not asleep. Besides, I feel different this morning." Two of Sundar's older brothers snickered. "I do feel different," he went on, "and I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm a Christian now, and I will be until the day I die." Sundar's father's voice was serious and low as he said, "Now that would be very foolish, son. You are a Sikh, Sundar, not a Christian. You are the son of the Sikh. Your brothers are Sikhs, and you will marry a Sikh and raise your children to be Sikh. It is a proud and strong heritage. Do you understand me?" Sundar nodded. Of course he understood. He had always expected these things for himself until now. But the vision of Jesus Christ had changed everything, and he knew he had to be true to that vision. "Father, I will do anything in the world to please you except for this," Sundar said respectfully. "I have been searching for God, and now I have found him. I will not let him go, even if my life depends on it." It well might, Sundar heard his oldest brother mumble under his breath.